The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Good morning and welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker and owner, in with Patrick Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we have a special guest again in with us this week is attorney Jane Carlonis.
Good morning, Jackie and Patrick.
Hi. Thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me again.
We are here to answer any real estate questions and discuss today. We're going to discuss a lot about buyers in a real estate transaction. And we're here every Saturday and Sunday discussing various real estate topics. We have a full-time real estate office with 12-plus realtors, and we have been listing and selling real estate over 40 years. Feel free to email us at questions@jready.com, or you can stop by and see us at 111 West Drinker Street, or you can call us
at 570-344-6724, or you can call us toll-free at 888-399-JACK. That's 888-399-5225.
Okay, Jane, if you could just briefly just tell us a little bit about you, who you are and who you're with, what firm?
Sure. Again, it's Jane Carlonis, and I am an attorney with the law firm of Oliver Price and Rhodes, and we're located at 1212 South Abington Road in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania. I can be reached at 570-585-1200, or my email is jmc@oprlaw.com. We're a full-service firm. There's 14 attorneys, and we do all types of work, law, I should say. I personally do mostly real estate and estate work.
Great. Last week, we were talking about a lot of real estate in regards to the seller's side of the transaction, why it's important to have legal representation, and the things that occur during when someone is selling a property.
Right.
And so this week, I thought we'd get into more or less on the buyer's side, what happens, what we need to do, what our focus is, and why we should have an attorney present at that time. But before I do, when we left here last week, I thought about a story I had, and I really should have brought it up. But coincidentally, I have a gentleman, a client that I was representing, had an estate and had a home to sell, and we had listed it. We found a buyer. We negotiated. We came to terms. And I did receive the death certificate, the short certificate. The estate was opened. And we got 2 weeks before closing, and I get the panic call, and I had suggested that an attorney be representing the estate and their real estate to close the deal, and nothing was ever done, and we get the panic call 2 weeks prior to closing. Okay, can you please help me fill out this paperwork? I don't want to pay an attorney.
Well, Jackie, that's probably a very common one. I mean, even though it might have been, you know, unusual for you to receive that. People who are, if there's an estate, they just aren't familiar, and there's no reason that they would be. And everybody thinks, oh, I just have to get this paperwork very easily. There's a lot more that goes into it. When someone passes away, without getting too far astray here, there's a necessity to open up an estate and for inheritance taxes to be filed within 9 months of the date of death. So in your particular instance, it sounds like, okay, we're at closing. I don't know when the person passed away, but probably either an estate wasn't opened yet or they didn't file the inheritance tax returns and they don't really know where to go. That's something that could delay settlement, or at a minimum, the buyer's side is going to be looking to escrow some money for payment of the inheritance taxes, because that could be possibly a lien against the property in the future. So that's an exact example, and I've jumped into many of those, where it's unfamiliar territory for people and they don't realize until it's almost too late, despite your attempt to constantly remind them and encourage them to, you know, find out how to resolve this beforehand. But it's a whole other, yet another example, a whole other issue of why it is important to have legal representation to handle this estate and have all the necessary paperwork and monies in place and everything in motion so that you could proceed to settlement.
Well, an escrow obviously had to be made.
Mm-hmm. And probably sizable.
Mm-hmm. Very. Very.
And so, because the guy was cheap, you ran into all kinds of problems.
Well, yeah, I don't mind. I'm
You don't want to call anybody cheap. I understand.
Well,
that.
I'm not against saving money because I like to do it myself.
Me too.
But
I'm a sales shopper.
There is a time and a place for that, but this wasn't it. So it's frustrating.
And they end up spending the money anyway.
You're absolutely correct, Patrick, which is why I was discussing with you. See, even we lawyers don't always charge lots of fees.
That's right. Last week we were talking about fees.
About fees, that's right.
Yeah, that's a good one. How much do you usually charge?
Well, for a seller, it's, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of about $500. Unless it gets a little more complicated, I always give that little caveat or there's unexpected issues. But, you know, from a sales end, it's money very well spent.
Right. Jackie Ruddy, at Jack Ruddy, Jackie always encourages people to get the lawyer. Money, I mean, I said this last week, it's the biggest investment of your lifetime. Protect yourself.
I agree. Couldn't agree with you more. Okay, so now let's talk about the buyer side of a contract. So we have an executed contract, meaning that the parties both agree to price terms, and we have an escrow deposit that's in our escrow account, and we have delivery. Delivery was made of the contract. So then we have usually a 10 to 15 day time frame for inspections.
Yes.
Okay. We get through the inspections, no major issues. The buyers are accepting the property or the sellers have given a credit or we've negotiated something there if there is anything to be negotiated. And also within that 10-day time frame, the buyer has to make a formal written application to a lender of their choice. That's been made. They've been pre-approved, but we're waiting for commitment. Now you're contacted. What do you do at this point?
Well, basically, when we jump in there, it sounds like you've covered what I would, you know, at least in my area of practice, I would say that this is definitely, you know, the next stage where we would get involved. And at that point, we order a title search of the property. And people are, what is a title search? That's an independent person who goes and reviews the books and in the county courthouse. It's a 60-year search just to make sure if there are any title defects. A defect would be if there's open taxes, if there's like a sewer lien, if there's any judgments against the current owners, and if there is a mortgage that we get information so it could be paid off at closing. So I always say to people, I like to wait, especially with what's going on in the world now, make sure that the deal is definitely going to go forward. I hate to see people start incurring expenses until we know that, you know, all of the issues with regard to the inspection issues have been taken care of. So we order the search. I always tell people all of the wheels are in motion now. Everybody's out doing their job. We're waiting for the title search. We're waiting to get updated taxes and sewer and garbage and any other items associated with it. At the same time, the buyer is working closely with their mortgage lender to make sure that they have all of their paperwork so that they're on track with them. And then, you know, we come to the point where everybody's on the same page. We find out who's handling the closing for the seller. We get, you know, a proposed new deed. We get whatever information we need to order searches of the people to make sure, again, that there's no judgments, that there's no domestic lien judgments against them. And then we come to closing. So it sounds really easy, but as we all
it
know
does.
Here.
You make it sound like, oh boy, you just sailed right through that. That
okay.
Was so wonderful.
Yeah, but I was sitting here thinking I got to remember this, 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 and this because I wanted to stop you several times there. How long does a title search?
Well, I always tell people, and I'm glad you did, I try to make it sound good, and I figured now you can shoot me with what really happens here, the questions.
Then we come to the real world.
And especially anybody who's listening is going, oh, yeah, that's really what happens.
Right. That's
okay.
A fairy tale.
So smooth.
Yes. Actually, so say I get called, we call a title searcher. I like to ask for a two-week lead time. You know, best case scenario, 10 to 14 days to get the search back to make sure that it's clean and clear. And I'll stop right there. We get the search back. We want to make sure that the people are aware, say for example that there is a issue with a driveway easement. Maybe they didn't know that they're sharing a driveway with the guy next door. Maybe they I just had something happen the other day on the search. It shows that the property in the back where the pool is located, that the people who are in the property now really don't own that property. Their deed ends somewhere and this is like kind of this loose property out there and they're like, oh, yeah, well, we'll take care of it. Well, let me tell you, you don't take care of that overnight. There's subdivision and there's all kind of issues that go with that.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's, believe me, that's
that garage. That garage is on the neighbor's property?
Oh, there's a fence. There's a garage. There's a pool. There's a couple of other things.
How about there wasn't a survey?
Yes. No, you're right. Well, there is going to be one, and the seller, unfortunately, in that instance, has to take care of a couple of extra things that became of issue now and need to move on. So those are the what I call the unexpected. So, you know, there's covenants and restrictions in a newer development. Maybe the people didn't realize that they can't put a fence up or that they can't put a pool. It can only be in, you know, in-ground pool. So little things like that we try to alert the people to, which if they hopefully knew beforehand, but sometimes they don't. Those are common issues. We talked a little bit about on the seller side, there's an estate. Now we have to research that a little further. Did they open the estate? Did they pay the taxes? You know, is that person still around? So all those things go into motion. So the title end is the one thing, and again, I like the two-week lead time. And then, not that I want to throw them under the bus, but with the lenders, we know what's gone on in the world, and there's so many issues with getting a mortgage now. So there's a lot of things to be considered.
Right, right. I agree. And it just seems like it's endless. But, you know, I am glad I have to make this point. I am glad I'm not involved in that transaction where the property is on somebody else's property.
That's not good.
No, I thought I saw it all, but... God, I have to say thank God. Okay, Patrick.
Okay.
You're up.
I'm going to talk about a listing. It's at 935 North Webster Avenue in Scranton. It's $165,000. The price has been reduced. It was at $179. Now it's down to $165. It's a four-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath. It's a beautiful home. I went into this home, and I went to the corner. It's a nice corner property with a one-car garage in the back. And I opened the front door, and I was very pleasantly surprised. I really was. I opened it up. It was a nice open floor plan. It had a beautiful fireplace. You go into the, like a formal living room, then it goes into the dining room, the kitchen. There's one full bath there. It's got an open staircase that goes upstairs, and there's a nice stained glass window up there. You go upstairs, you walk into like a middle hallway, and then it goes to four bedrooms with another big, beautiful bath with the old tile. What is it, the Carrara glass tile that looked like? It was really a beautiful bathroom. I said, I really like this house. Hardwood floors up there, too. I kept going upstairs. The attic is finished. It's got high ceilings, lots of windows. I went down into the basement. There's a wet bar in the basement, an area that I think I might have to live in if I lived in that house. I wouldn't be coming out of there too much. Another bath down there. It really was a beautiful home, and that's listed at 165. It's 935 North Webster Avenue.
Yes, it was just reduced.
Yes.
To 165.
Correct.
A lot of good square footage in that house.
Yes.
Finished square footage.
Yeah, it's 2,500 square feet.
Okay, it's break time, so we will be back shortly with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
Looking for the one home that's right for you? It's one of the biggest decisions of your life. Don't leave it all to a website. Connect with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. They'll work with you to find the one neighborhood, the one community that will give you the best value. Then they will guide you from homepage to home while living up to the promise of Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, the gold standard. Whether it's time to move up or you're simplifying your life but don't want to sacrifice your comfort, call Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, 344-6724. That's 344-6724. They're the experts on real estate. Tune in on Saturdays at 8:30 a.m. and Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Century 21 Jack Ruddy knows real estate.
Hi, this is Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Is real estate on your mind? It's on ours 24/7. Whether you're buying, selling, investing, or in need of an appraisal, you have questions, we have answers.
We are back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Again, I'm Jackie Ruddy, and with Patrick Devaney.
Good morning.
My husband and fellow realtor and attorney Jane Carlonis.
Good morning, Jackie and Patrick.
Hello. Jane, what's your contact information, please?
I am at Oliver Pryson Rhodes Law Firm, 1212 South Abington Road in Clark Summit. Phone number 570-585-1200. Or email jmc@oprlaw.com.
Great. Today, so far, we have been discussing, we've spent a lot of time on the title search, and we were just before the break getting into what happens with the title search and how long does it take. And so at this point, when you're doing the title search, the buyer's already done the inspections. They've already applied formally, made written formal application with their lender. And you're doing the title search. Takes about 10 days to 2 weeks, correct?
Right. I like to ask for at least that lead time, right?
Okay. Now what?
Now what happens is the buyer is working closely with their mortgage company.
Oh, and I love that, closely.
Yes, you like that, closely.
I like that.
And I think, you know, probably the word of the, you know, the day now is that they have to be extremely close with their lender and all lenders. And this is not anything against them. As we all know what's gone on in, you know, just in the whole real estate world, banks have lots of money to lend, but they're being very, very, very strict in lending the money, even if you have, you know, stellar credit. So I always encourage buyers, stay in contact with them, because a lot of times they need last minute paperwork, and a lot of times they need documents that maybe they didn't need in the past. And I like to always say to people, they're dotting their I's and crossing their T's, and they're being even more precise than they used to be. And you think you're over one hurdle, and then they call and say, oh, wait, we need one more piece of information. So I always encourage the buyer, and I think, Jackie, you said at the break, you know, the seller, you kind of say, this is the quiet time. Don't worry about it. The buyer's, it's kind of, you know, if you want to say, like in the game of ping pong, it's, you know, the issue is on the buyer right now. So the buyer is waiting for their title search. You know, we have independent title searchers who do it. We're reviewing the title. We're working with the bank and issuing them what's called a commitment, saying, here's the property. It's free and clear of defects, or if there are any issues, we're going to clean them up, or we're going to explain to the proposed buyer some of the issues that, you know, they have to know. For example, there is an easement for a driveway, or there's a right for utilities to come in, or there's covenants and restrictions in a development. So we're working with all that, and now we're getting ready to proceed to closing, which everybody's been waiting for. So again, back to the buyer, make sure the mortgage company is good, and we come to the closing table. And I'm probably going to guess your next question, Jackie, what's title insurance? Because that's what buyers always want to know.
Well, it's a
what is title insurance?
It is a significant charge that's on the settlement statement. So it does attract a lot of attention.
Right. Well, the lenders all require it. And what title insurance is it ensures to the lender that the mortgage that they're giving is what's called a first lien on the property, which means that there's no other mortgages. The property is clean and clear of defects, meaning that there's no delinquent taxes, that they're, you know, a taxing authority is going to come after them, or God forbid it's sold at a tax sale. So we're ensuring them that the mortgage that they're giving, that they sit in the first position, that hopefully these people, you know, will continue to pay and there's never a foreclosure or anything, but we are ensuring them. It's mandatory in the state of Pennsylvania, and it's also regulated by the state of Pennsylvania. So when people get title insurance, it's based upon the price of the property. We always encourage people to get an owner's policy. It's a one-time fee. It's different than homeowner's insurance. That's for fire, flood, and that's also mandatory. But title insurance, there's a policy given to the bank or to the mortgage company, and there's a policy given to the owner. And what that does is we are ensuring them that based on our 60-year title search, there's no defects in title. For example, for an owner, what could be a defect? Well, maybe a wife didn't sign off on a deed, you know, or a spouse didn't sign off on a deed that no one realized because no one looked to see if, you know, if there was a proper, you know, designation in a prior deed, if the person was married. We talked a little bit about that last week on the seller side. Maybe there's an issue that somebody falsely signed a deed, you know, even though it was, or there was a false notary that, again, the naked eye didn't see, and now all of a sudden it's become an issue. This is where the policy would protect them. And if there was ever an issue, they could make a claim against their title company for these issues.
So the bank requires title insurance.
Bank requires it. It is mandatory.
So when somebody pays cash?
When somebody pays cash, they obviously don't have to get it because there's no lender or bank involved. But we still do encourage people to get a policy. It's again, you know, we were talking about it's money well spent. You're buying one of the, if not the largest purchase in your life. You want to have it correct. This is a policy that, again, is regulated by the state. But if you issue this policy, it's one time, and it's an assurance that, you know, everything is clean and clear or subject to whatever conditions are explained to you on the property. So we strongly encourage people to get it. But if you do not have a mortgage, you do not absolutely have to, but it's strongly encouraged.
And that's what how I explain it too. When I have cash buyers, I can't imagine. It's obviously their decision.
Correct.
If I was ever blessed with the ability to pay cash for a property, I know my personality, I would definitely have a title search and title insurance. No doubt about it.
Yeah, and more people are doing that. There was a time when I would say people would be like, oh, I don't need that money. But by the time you pay your fees for the search and you pay your fees to have someone represent you, you're close enough to probably just purchasing the title policy, and it's money well spent.
Absolutely. Okay, so we're at the closing table.
All right.
Yeah.
We finally made it.
We got there.
It seemed like we were never going to get there.
I like that. We've been working closely with our lender.
You do like that.
Yes, oh, closely. You have no idea how close.
Patrick, it sounds like you love working with lenders.
Oh, I do. Oh, what about the internet lenders that we've dealt with 6 months later and that I want to go hang myself in the basement? They're horror. My experience is it's much better to deal with a local lender when there's a face on it and I can call XYZ and say, listen, Mr. Smith, mm-hmm. we have a problem here. But when I'm dealing with this company on the internet, I get a different clerk every time, and I never get a straight answer.
Have you ever been involved with that?
Yeah, I have. A couple years ago, when unfortunately everybody was giving money too freely, and there was all these subprime mortgages, and I used to cringe when people were coming. And after I had two or three bad experiences, and what you just said, Patrick, every time I'd call, I'd get somebody different, and the right hand didn't know what the left hand was doing, and I felt like we were never going to get to closing. And the poor, you know, buyers, they thought they were getting such a good deal. And unfortunately, at the end, they really didn't get a good deal. I mean, there was either, you know, extra points added on or extra unexpected fees. And you're too far gone then at that point because they needed to close. So I actually personally said, oh, watch these. Now, last year I had one very good internet lender, but I had a live body and I had the same body every time. So, and they did deliver. That was the exception. I encourage people. Nowadays, there's too many good deals going on around right here locally in your neighborhood. And years ago, a broker used to tell me, I like to be there if somebody wants to come, and they said it a little kind of funny, but throw a rock at me, they can find me and they can get a live body. And that is so important. And especially if you're a first-time home buyer or even a second time, it doesn't matter. You know, this is territory you're not familiar with. You need that comfort zone of being able to reach out to a person and being able to get a live body.
Great. Yes, I agree. Okay, right before settlement, though, there is the day before, the morning of, that usually the settlement statement is making its rounds. It goes, you know, from usually the buyer's attorney usually drafts it, then it goes to the seller's attorney, and the lender wants to make sure that all their fees and everything is correct there, and then it goes to the realtors, too. So at that point, you have been reviewing the documents for settlement. But when settlement actually comes, a lot of times I've been sitting at the closing table and the FedEx mm-hmm. packet comes like flying through the front door and we can close.
Well, that's actually, FedEx used to be good. Now with email, while email is wonderful and an instantaneous, they sometimes think, oh, well, we'll get them the package a half hour before closing. And that's becoming increasingly more of a problem. Because obviously it has a ripple effect and, you know, people are waiting to find out how much money they have to bring. We're waiting to get approval of the settlement statement. We don't even have an opportunity to get it out to the realtors or everybody else. Everybody's hurrying, and it's one of those things in life at the last minute. That's when errors could occur because there's no time to really look over everything. So it's real important, and we try to encourage, and, you know, sometimes the best laid plans get, you know, a little bit messed up, but we do everything, all of us, you know, try to do everything with all efforts to try to get all the numbers together so we can let the buyer know how much money they need. But yes, in the perfect instance, like you said, everybody's circulating it. We're letting the buyer know what they have to bring because they do have to bring certified funds or a cashier's check to closing. It's an opportunity for the realtor to make sure all of the fees and their real estate commission, everything is correct, that the seller's fees are on, that, you know, their payoff information is correct. And then we come to closing.
Okay.
We're finally there, Patrick.
All right. I love closing.
Endorsements, title insurance, flood certificate, certification, domestic relations search.
So many searches.
What are these and why are they necessary?
I know. Well, they're all part of the whole, you know, when you come to closing, what's called a HUD settlement statement that summarizes all of that. I'll start by saying title insurance. I think we talked about that. That's regulated by the state. It's mandatory. There are standard endorsements that go to a policy, which is also for the sake of, you know, simplicity here, just part of the whole title insurance mandated by the lender. The lender usually requires you to get a flood certificate. Even if you think you're never in a flood zone, they look at maps that we don't even know are out there, and they have to make sure that there's no issue. Domestic relations, you want to make sure that the seller isn't in the midst of any type of family law issues, and if they are paying support, that they're current. And that is so important now. And we have to run the Social Security numbers of the sellers and make sure that there are no liens or domestic relation liens against them. If so, they have to be paid at closing. You know, a lot of tax collectors, no matter what area you're in, charge a fee to get an updated statement from them. There are some school districts that send to a, you know, a collection agency. We have to get a certification from them to make sure that there's no outstanding delinquent taxes on the property. So, you know, this is important, and these are those things that come back to bite you if you don't get all of these right before you get to closing. That's so there's right. A lot of things going on behind the scene.
That's
so
why you need a lawyer.
And you do so much. Are you sure you're getting paid enough?
Well, maybe that'll
I ask Jackie that all the time. Are you sure you're getting paid enough?
Yeah, well, maybe we could do that for topic number three okay. When we come back. But yeah, we do. And, you know, it's nothing better than seeing, as we all know in our industry, seeing somebody happy buying a home and or selling a home. You know, I love when they show pictures of, you know, it's their parents' home and all the memories that are in there. I don't live in a false world that there aren't some contentious times, but it's a nice thing. But yes, we try to, Patrick. We try to make sure that we always get paid enough.
Well, it's very gratifying, I can say, walking away from the closing table when I'm walking out of your office and getting into my car. It is. It's a good feeling.
It's great to see the people happy. It really mm-hmm. is. It makes all the work worthwhile.
Worthwhile. No, I agree. And you know, you just want people in today's day and age, nothing like, you know, the ability to own a home and, you know, have that pride of home ownership, which we do know, and leave all these other behind the scenes things that we're telling you to us. That's why you hire a real estate agent, why you hire an attorney or a title company to handle these issues for you.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much, Jane. I really enjoyed these last 2 weeks with you. You've been great, and I have been very well informed here as a result of you coming in and taking your time and spending it with us.
Well, thanks again for having me.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we have a listing. We just listed this, 407 Butler Street in Dunmore, 169.9, brand new listing. It is an 8-room, 3-bedroom, 2-bath home. It has a privacy fence and an above-ground pool, a deck, a patio, and a shed. It has so many updates. It's too long of a list to mention here, but beautiful tile floor, cherry kitchen, a formal dining room, 3 bedrooms on second floor, so many built-ins, built-in entertainment center in the living room, built-ins in the bedrooms, great home, and central air. And there's skylights also in the property. Great listing.
Could have used that central air this summer.
Yes, every day.
Yes.
And then some. Okay, we have a tip. Today's tip also for if you're cleaning out your house and you have a lot of books. And I was just thinking the other day, I have to pack some things away and give them away. And here's a tip, www.booksforsoldiers.com. Or you can go to the sister companion site, booksforsoldiers.info, if you have trouble with the .com site. These help the troops escape boredom by donating books. You can also donate DVDs and CDs. So for more information, go to www.books, that's B-O-O-K-S, four, spelled out, F-O-R, soldiers, S-O-L-D-I-E-R-S.com. We thank you for listening today, and we have to say goodbye now. So thanks for joining us. They're at the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Again, I'm Jackie Ruddy, in with my husband, Patrick Devaney.
Thank you very much.
And you can listen in every Saturday and Sunday. And remember to contact us during the week with any questions at questions@jruddy.com, or
you can call us at 570-344-6724 or toll-free 888-399-JACK. That's 888-399-5225.
Visit our listings or search the MLS if you go to jruddy.com, JRUDDY.com. Thanks for joining us and have a great weekend.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.